like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to the second hour of the Light of Day radio show with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, June 5th, 2010. Pretty hot out here in the Sonora Desert. We got up, I believe, over 100 today. Me and my kids went to the pool, as a matter of fact. It was so warm. Anyway, welcome to the Light of Day show. We're going to be playing this clip by Linda Howe after... I played this other soundbite that I just created tonight here. I think you folks will enjoy this as well. I'm working on doing a number of soundbites. So is my co-host, John DiNardo. He airs his own radio show, by the way, on WORG. You can go to my Archives Miscellaneous subpage and scroll down under the John Moore section to find out how to tune into John's shows, which are called Planet X Radio Dramas. Anyway, I'm going to play the soundbite, so here we go.
So while we all went about our lives yesterday, we came very close to a catastrophic event here on planet Earth, and we didn't know about it. It turns out we just missed getting hit by an asteroid. A piece of solid rock, roughly the size of a 10-story building. Now, I say just missed because it came within 45,000 miles of us. That's a lot closer than the moon is, and scientists say way too close for something that big. It struck, again, the people who tell us about these things, say the impact could have had the force of 1,000 Hiroshima-strength atomic bombs over a huge area.
It is a brown dwarf star. It is either a small star or it is a big planet.
Going to take you on a journey to the end of the Earth to show you a place that might someday save humankind. It's a bank built to last 10,000 years. If you could clear away the ice, you'd see that, officially, the bank is called the Svalbard Global Seed Vault. It's built to warehouse backup copies of all the world's crops, 1.5 billion seeds. If an asteroid strikes the Earth, seeds to restart agriculture would come from here. Norway paid for construction, Bill Gates paid for the shipping, and seeds from nearly every nation are locked inside.
John, I would like to mention that I think we should begin to warn our audience that they should start really thinking about and working together with us in preparing for solar storms that I suspect and many other people suspect are going to be occurring this year or next year. Solar storms that could be so severe that two major catastrophes will result. One would be the destruction of our power grids, and that would throw us back into a primitive lifestyle. We would be overnight forced into, ancient ways of living. We've got a lot of evidence to indicate that these solar storms are coming soon. We could talk about Planet X and how it is exciting the sun and beginning to excite the sun after its this two-year lull in solar activity, which I believe was due to Planet X passing below Jupiter and Planet X and its hordes of surrounding comets interacting electrically with Jupiter, drawing electrical fire away from the sun and toward Jupiter. But that was just a temporary lull before the storm. Now we can expect solar blasting. How are we going to prepare? To live without power. Number two, how are we going to prepare to live when we are being blasted by the sun with temperatures scorching, burning up, people dying on the surface of the Earth from the intense solar blasting?
Okay, folks, that was the new soundbite I made here tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be making more in the future. I'd like to actually go through old Art Bell radio shows that I still have in crystal clear quality on audio cassette tapes, because there'd be times that he would mention Wormwood. So that'll be a very time-consuming project to go find that stuff. Anyway, I was going to go back to what I was saying about Linda Howe here as a disclaimer before I play her soundbite off the Coast to Coast show. This is from Bill Cooper's book, Behold a Pale Horse. Mrs. Howe has exercised good judgment and truth and great restraint in not revealing the contents of the Operation Majority documents to the public. It is for this reason that Mr. Cooper believed that an attempt has been made to use Linda Howe. Fortunately, Linda did not fall off a turnip truck, and she did not play the game. Mr. Cooper recommends that you read her book entitled Alien Harvest. You should be able to order it from any good bookstore. Anyway, it goes on and on. Mr. Cooper talking about who the so-called agents are within the so-called ufology movement. That's what he called it. Anyway, the reason I want to play this Linda Howe soundbite is because she obviously knows something about forthcoming tsunamis that may be hitting the East Coast. And this is an old soundbite off the Coast to Coast show from 2005. So I'd like to play it for whatever it's worth. So here it is.
Linda Moulton Howe, we turned her loose a few weeks ago to do an investigation on the possibility of a tsunami hitting the eastern coast. of the United States. A few weeks ago, we turned Linda loose to do a story, an investigation on the potential of a tsunami that could hit the eastern coast of the United States. And Linda's with us right now.
Keep in mind here, folks, that while I'm playing this, you're going to hear it. This is actually, I believe, recorded off AM radio, so it kind of gets fuzzy there, sort of distorted for a few seconds. But you, for the most part, you can make out what she's saying. So here it is.
Hi, George.
Good work on this, by the way. I'm looking forward to this report.
Well, thank you. What an active time from the sun out to the solar system and down to our own planet. You know, the Canary Islands, there's seven of them out in the Atlantic Ocean west of Morocco, Africa. They're owned by Spain, and one of them, La Palma, is not only the steepest island in the world, but it also has been the most volcanically active of the Canaries in the past 500 years. It also has a four-mile-high volcano called Cumbre Vieja, which means old summit. The volcano has been rebuilding itself for the past 15,000 years since it last blew apart and collapsed huge amounts of rock into the surrounding ocean, sending out a giant tsunami then that has been detected in deposits as far away as the Bahamas and Bermuda. Over the past 15,000 years, the volcano kept erupting underwater, building back up from the Atlantic seabed 3 miles below the water surface to its present height, which is now more than a mile above the Atlantic. Its last two eruptions were 1971 and 1949. And during the 1949 eruption, the western side of the island slipped 16 feet downward toward the sea, and it opened up a 2-kilometer-long fracture, which is visible today. And now geologists think that that western side of the volcano is unstable.
Yes.
During another future eruption, as much as 500 cubic kilometers of that western side could collapse into the Atlantic. And if that happened, George, as incredible as it sounds, computer models indicate that the tsunami at the collapsed site could be at least a kilometer high.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that would be more than half a mile of water rise at La Palma after all the estimated 500 billion tons of rock could fall rapidly and displace an equivalent amount of ocean water. And remember, something like that did occur about 15,000 years ago. A computer model showed that the water under such a situation would move out at 500 miles an hour across the Atlantic Ocean. And by the time it reached the east coast of North America and as far south as northern Brazil 8 to 12 hours later, the tsunami could be as high as 165 feet when it hit shoreline in northern Brazil. We're talking mega tsunami. This is a 15-story building of water coming into North America and down to Brazil. And you can see computer model frames of this tsunami action at my website, www.earthfiles.com. On the headlines page is a hot link to this report tonight about the mega tsunami threat from the Canary Islands volcano that has been done from the work at UC Santa Cruz computer model expert Steve Ward. Now, a scientist who began studying the Cumbre Vieja volcano in the mid-1990s and the possible consequences of such a mega tsunami on the east coast of North America and Brazil is British geologist Simon Day, Ph.D. Dr. Day is now visiting associate researcher from University College in London at the Department now of Earth Sciences at the University of California, Santa Cruz. Recently, I asked him about the potential tsunami danger of this volcano and if he had confidence in the accuracy of the computer modeling projections, which some other...
Well, there you go, folks. That guy she was going to interview, his name was Mr. Day. Isn't that something? Anyway, I thought I'd just play it for what it's worth. I don't put much faith in the information Linda Howe puts out, because I do think she's an agent of the UFO cover-up. But then again, the disinformation agents like Dr. Rebecca Carley has stated will put out 90% truth. It's the 10% they're not telling you that'll lead you into a ditch. So that, you know, that's from 5 years ago, and here we got volcanoes going off, so maybe she was trying to put something in, being an, as an insider as she is, maybe she was trying to tell us something 5 years ago. So let's take that for what it's worth. You know, we do have a lot of volcanoes going off right now. And back to this article I was reading here about these shape-shifting islands defying the sea level rise. I did find these other two articles about climate refugees while we were in the break here. I'll go back to the first one. This is from the Washington Times, Sunday, April 19th of last year. Climate refugees in the Pacific flee the rising seas. Here it is, Melbourne, Australia. Rising sea levels blamed on climate change are taking a toll on island nations in the South Pacific, with the world's first climate refugees beginning a migration that's likely to continue for decades to come. Inhabitants of parts of New Guinea and Tuvalu have already been forced to move from low-lying areas. And then we have another article here. This is from February 24th of this year. Climate refugees' new village. Anchorage, Alaska. Residents of a tiny Yupik Eskimo village in Alaska are preparing to become the United States' first climate refugees and flee their homes as the thawing permafrost beneath washes away. Residents of Nutok, a settlement of 350 people on the banks of the rapidly eroding Ninglik River in western Alaska, feel fortunate. They're building a new village called Murdervik at an elevation of about 300 feet on adjacent Nelson Island with help from military personnel under a U.S. Defense Department training program. Many residents expect to be living there by 2012. It's a rolling hill with a good water source. It's really nice and high, said Stanley Tom, administrator of the Nutok Tribal Government. We are taking phone calls, folks, if you do want to call in. The number is 716-213-6816. That's 716-213-6816. We'll be going in the break here again in about 5 or 6 minutes. Boy, the time really goes fast. But the point with these articles, folks, is we are seeing the first indications of climate refugees fleeing low-lying areas on islands out in the ocean and that, and this would be indicative of possible stresses being exerted upon Earth as wormwood comes closer into the inner solar system, because this is going to cause land under the oceans to rise. You know, back to what I was saying about Linda Howe. You know, we also seem to be confronting a lot of what I suspect to be disinformation agents in this Planet X research. Now, even though I bring a lot of guests on that are questionable, I still like to see what kind of information I can glean from them, because you know, there's no telling. Maybe they really are legitimate people. But then again, they may just be, you know, victims of a major mind control operation, and a religion would, of course, be involved in that. But for the most part, I tend to have this feeling that I'm right about Planet X. I do think there is an object headed our way, and I feel like I'm supposed to be covering this this topic. Now, it's unfortunate we didn't have our guest on, Marshall Masters, here tonight, and I'll just have to live with it. But, you know, he is one of these folks that Professor McCanny Warrens puts this red ball on the cover of his book, and this has been seen on other books like Jason Rand's and others. But then again, maybe Professor McCanny is putting out disinformation. You know, it's really hard to sift through all this stuff. Because according to John Moore, this is one of the most highly classified matters that most of the major governments are dealing with, is this topic of Planet X coming in and causing cataclysmic Earth changes. And this global warming has always been the cover, according to John Moore, for what I just mentioned. So we're bound to run into lots of disinformation out there because, of course, if these are agents working for the government. The government does not want folks to be prepared for that 2012 date. So they're going to put that date out there, and then, you know, based on what happened with Y2K, the government knows most people aren't going to start to prepare until maybe January of 2012, which could be too late already. There is no specific date on the passage of Wormwood. In my opinion, the elite are preparing as best as they can because they don't know the exact date. They depend on mathematical calculations and things like that to give them an idea as to when it's going to pass us. I've also considered that this may not happen until 2013 because most folks will get prepared, the ones that will, and then the 2012 date will roll around and nothing will happen. They'll say, oh, just another scam, and then, bam, we get hit by Planet X passing us in 2013. And according to a guy out there named Lucas, who I've tried to get on my show here, but he just doesn't reply to my emails or I answer my phone calls, according to him, he thinks one of the possible target dates for this cosmic event is in 2013. Anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Light of Day coming to you on the Orion Talk Network. And please call in if any of you folks out there got enough guts to do it. I'm willing to talk to somebody tonight if they want to call in. This is my first night with open lines. So, anyway, stay tuned. You're listening to The Light of Day on Orion. We'll be back. Busted down and stalled. In a blizzard he was lost. She ran calling wildfire. She ran calling wildfire. She ran calling wildfire.
Free speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Folks, welcome back to The Light of Day with your host Sheldon Day coming to you on the Orion Talk Radio Network. Sort of surprised we don't have anybody calling in, but that's okay. Gives me a chance to learn how to do a show without, not having a guest on, because I'm not really used to being without a guest on my show. I guess we could lead a little history here about Wormwood that I received from Dr. Judy Nips up in Pennsylvania. She runs a health food store, and she sends me some pretty great information, even though she's a victim herself of this massive religious programming that's going on. Now, the Skype does indicate we do have a caller here, possibly, I'm not sure. Anyway, have to keep my eyes on that. It'd be interesting if we did get a call in tonight here. I'm going to read a little history in the meantime on Wormwood. For you historical archivists, Planet X, also known as the Winged Globe, also known as the Planet of Crossing, also known as Nibiru, the home of the Anunnaki, was first spotted by an infrared satellite, IRAS, flown for NASA by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena in 1983. It was coming toward our solar system from the direction of Orion and the Pleiadian star system. Now, folks, if you go to Google Sky Earth and other various software that rely on NASA databases, you'll see that that part of the sky, Orion, is blacked out, so you can't look towards it. But then again, my recent guest, Gilbert Erickson, states that that is massive disinformation because they don't want really people to really know where it's coming from, according to Gilbert Erickson. And if you go out in the night sky right now and look dead south, it's coming in between the constellations of Scorpius and Sagittarius. So who really knows where it's really coming from, but there you go for what it's worth. For decades, scientists have theorized that certain perturbations of the outer planets could only be caused by another planet in a large orbit not yet discovered. The label attached to the unknown body was Planet X. When it was first spotted, it was incorrectly thought to be a dwarf brownish-red star. It is, in fact, a planet. Now, some of this is disinformation, folks, because it's not a planet. According to my producer, we do have a caller here. I don't see him on my Skype screen here. Okay, we may have a caller here. According to my producer, we're going to bring him on and see who it is.
According to my producer, we do have a caller here.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello,
go ahead.
Is Sullen Day?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I'm on.
Hello?
I've been trying to call and got no answer, and I called again.
Yeah, I actually don't really know how to answer the phone callers. I was just hoping for the best here, but I can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, thanks. Oh, yeah, I guess I've been waiting, you know, I've been hearing your listening to your programs usually on Sunday and not tonight, and I decided to listen on tonight, and of all the nights, I just joined Marshall Master's group over there as a, you know, participant in their forum.
Is this Marlene?
No, my name is Esther.
Esther, okay. Welcome to the show, Esther. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just saying that I was just joined, you know, I usually don't know how to join forums, and I just joined Marshall Masters Forum, Planet X, Survivor, you know, whatever, and it's like, of all things, now I hear that he's possibly, you know, a shill or something like that, so.
Hey, Jimmy, while the caller's talking, I'm hearing herself echo a little there in the background. I don't know how to eliminate that on my end. Okay, you got to turn your speakers down just a little, Esther. Can you? Because you're getting. I'm hearing an echo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I'm just got the. I'm listening to you on the internet. So. But yeah, I completely forgot what I was going to ask about. Yeah. When I listened to Jim McCanney about a week ago. Apparently his whole predictions of hurricanes is totally different from Noah's predictions. And then when I talked to John DiNardo, he thought perhaps that, you know, something's going on with Jim McCanney. I don't know. I'm just wondering, you know, he's saying something about not the same type of stuff that may be going on with hurricanes this season as what, you know, they're saying, you know, what you hear on the Weather Channel and all that. So I'm wondering,
sometimes, if you
know anything about that.
Well, I don't have any insider knowledge, but I will attest that a year or two ago, Professor McCanney did state that it wasn't the hurricane season wasn't going to turn out to be the way Noah had stated, and sure enough, he was right about that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he's stating the same thing again, I've spoken to John DiNardo a few times, and, you know, He just believes that, you know, maybe they've gotten to him. I don't know. I'm just
that they,
curious.
That they got the John DiNardo?
No, Jim McCanney.
Oh.
He's not speaking up. I don't know. So
there is some talk going on behind the scenes that maybe Professor McCanney's life has been threatened or something, because he is talking quite differently than he did maybe, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. Go ahead.
Yeah, John had sent me some information, you know, an audio clip of some stuff that Jim McCanney had said, and this was about 5 years ago or 6 years ago, and it was very different. So.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just like, who you believe anymore? What's going on, you know? I mean, I tell people Planet X is my drug of choice right now, because, you know, I just recently lost my daughter, you know, and it just, you know, I'm just throwing myself into this, you know. So
how long have you been researching the topic of Planet X?
About 5-6 months. About 5 months. Recently, I mean, I started it when I heard Lucas on Lee Rogers on his Rogue Government website. You know, that's the first I'd heard of it. Then I ordered, you know, John Moore's DVD on global warming, having no idea that that's what is going to be about Planet X. And so I got the two of them confirming, and then forget it. Then I got some of Jim McKinney's books, and then I got Jason Rand's books, and I heard, you know, him on your program. So, you know, and I'm like, don't know. I don't know who's disinformation, who's not. You know, I'm just kind of weeding through all the stuff.
Yeah, the disinformation aspect of this topic can be really confusing, but I personally tend to think that there is some type of big cosmic event that's about to happen. That's the way I see it for the most part.
Yeah, and also I listened to a guy named James Lloyd out of with Christian Media, and I just listened to one of his DVDs, Angels in Orbit, and it talks about, you know, catastrophism and the word, and the fact that the word aster, which means star, is in catastrophe and disaster, you know, all these things like that. And I found that very interesting, and just, you know, actually he's mentioned Planet X in another DVD that he has, and so, he's right on target with some of this catastrophes with the planets, you know, particular Mars and stuff like that, too. So, you know, I wanted to make contact with him and, you know, maybe can talk with him too. I don't know. I don't know, you know, how far, you know, I haven't seen his Planet X once either. So, but I just got the one, Angels in Orbit, he calls it.
That's Pastor James Lloyd. Yeah, I've heard of him before.
Yeah, so he's interesting. He comes with a very different view about how things are going. And, you know, I'm always looking at everything. I look at everything. I never throw anything out till I've investigated it. So,
well, let me ask you, Esther, have you... Go ahead.
Hmm? Yeah, and I've been reading... Go ahead. I've been reading a lot of his stuff.
Oh, yeah, have you? I was going to ask you, have you heard of John Moore?
Yeah, I have his DVD on global warming. I told you that after I had spoke, I had heard about, you know, this Planet X stuff by listening to Lucas on with Lee Rogers, then I ordered John Moore's DVD that I had no idea that's what it was going to be about.
I had been listening to... Huh?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say I had been listening to Professor McCanney's shows for quite a while, and I had heard him talking about Planet X, and then it was the later part of last year that I was starting to hear John Moore talk about Planet X, and really carried a lot of weight with me. So John Moore is really the guy that woke me up to all this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy that's got really high credentials. He's got been a homicide investigator for almost 40 years. He knows how to deal with evidence when he sees it.
Oh, I know. I've ordered it, and I've shared with people, and people just don't want to believe, though. People don't want to believe. You know, they just think, you know, they think I'm crazy, you know. I go into all these things. You know, my kids live up in New Jersey, you know. Oh, and my son lives right nearby where John DiNardo lives. So when my daughter has her next baby, I'm going to go up and see him.
So you're up in the, you're in the Northeast then, huh?
No, I'm actually in the mountains of North Carolina by the Appalachians. So
that's actually kind of safe
where I'm at. But I'm still concerned about all the other effects, you know, just all these little creatures coming out of the ground maybe, or I don't know, you know. And then my son used to work for a guy who owns a zoo here, and I warned him about it. I told him he needs to check out the rabbits whole thing and check out, you know, I was going to lend him John Moore's DVD. I don't have it now because I've lent it out, but you've got animals, and that's a big concern for zoos because animals are going to go crazy. You know, they tend to be more sensitive to stuff like that.
Well, are you within 100 miles of the ocean where you are?
No, I'm. You know, where North Carolina butts with Tennessee and Virginia.
Oh, okay.
You're where, that's in the corner. The Appalachians, near the Blue Ridge Mountains, near the Appalachian Mountains. So
well,
we're about 35.
Go ahead.
According to John Moore, it's going up to the Blue Ridge Parkway, and we're beyond it.
That's just what I was going to say. I remember him stating if the up to the Blue Ridge Parkway, you're in great danger.
Yeah, and I'm beyond it. Plus, we're about 3,500 feet anyway.
Do you know anybody that former military or U.S. Navy or current maybe you can find some information out about these rising sea levels?
Well, actually, not really. I mean, I just know that when John DiNardo told me to watch that thing on Discovery, on the Discovery Channel, YouTube, on mega tsunamis, that's the one to watch for, you know, and the one in the Canary Islands. I think that's something you had just mentioned before in your show. You know, the Cumbre Vieja, something like that. Or whatever, if that drops into the ocean, the way I watched it on Discovery. If it drops in, watch out. You got 8 hours. Get out.
Yeah, that was a soundbite I was playing with Linda Howe. Yeah. Right.
Mhm. But the Discovery Channel. I don't know if John mentioned that to you about Discovery Channel YouTube. They're on. If you do Discovery Channel YouTube mega tsunamis, you find that. And it was a show that they had, and I watched that last night and said, "Whoa! I need to get people to watch this." But people just not really, you know, interested. No, they're not going to be ready.
I never watched the History Channel, Esther, but it seems
Discovery Channel.
Discovery.
Channel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's a YouTube, and John DiNardo is the one that told me about it. You know, to watch it, because he's got that on tape. You know, it's on Mega Tsunami. So anybody can click Mega Tsunami's Discovery Channel YouTube, you know, and they can watch that, and they can see, you know, the potential for that. You know, they're saying maybe 100 years, maybe 50 years, but who knows, but maybe sooner because of, you know, Planet X would cause that, would bring that about.
I never get to watch the History Channel, but I know that the Discovery Channel, but I know that the History Channel is becoming like an Armageddon-type channel. I think they're trying to leak something out to us on there.
Yeah, no, I've watched some of that stuff too, but you know, I'm not a person that believes, you know, coming from a Reformed faith, I'm not a person that believes in the rapture and all that, but I figure Christians are going to be here through thick and thin. you know, they're not going to get raptured out of here. I said, that was only born in America. You know, never mind people, Christians dying all over the world right now, in China and Russia and other places, you know. So, but...
Yeah, you know, even you know, though, even though I consider John DiNardo a great friend of mine, you know, he's a religious person and he's one of these Christians. I really tend to have a problem with these kind of people now because I listen to Dr. Carly shows all the time, but you know, they do come across as nice people and they do care about other people and you know, not all their information is going to be incorrect, so we can still learn stuff from them.
Like what in particular? What in particular are you talking about? Are you talking about Christians?
Yeah, I'm a lot like...
Dispensational beliefs or something like that?
Yeah, I also think there's not going to be no rapture. No one's coming here to save anybody, including aliens.
Yeah, no.
I think that, too.
Yeah, and I used to follow Bill Cooper way before, long time ago. I used to love his program, you know, so I... You know, he was really onto something, you know, so. And once again, taken out. You know, so. Yeah.
I was going to say, I was a really big fan of his, too. I went to his funeral in 2001.
Oh, wow. Wow. Oh, that's all the way out there. I mean, I know he had some problems and stuff like that, but. His heart was in the right place, and he knew what was going on. And like I said, I was awakened to all the stuff that's been going on since 1993, you know, ever since the World Trade Center. You know, I used to live in New Jersey and saw the world, knew people that worked in the World Trade Center. And when that came down, I mean, I was just like, no. Something's wrong. This didn't just happen.
What are your thoughts for the audience on what Dr. Judy Wood's research in the 9/11 that directed energy weapons were used and that there was a hurricane parked off the East Coast that morning?
Actually, I haven't heard that. I would like to hear. I was actually, when you mentioned that earlier, I was looking for that. I'm like, where did I see it? I see her thing, so I haven't heard it, but anything. I mean, I've seen a lot of evidence about all the bombs being laid in the buildings and stuff like that and just the type of explosion and just Building 7 the way it came down the way it did, you know, so, but I don't know, anything's possible and I would like to check it out, so we'll see.
Well, you can go to my, if you go to my website, Esther, the Light of Day Radio Show, and you go to my Archives Miscellaneous subpage, I have tons of interviews that posted there that I'm archiving for her and
okay.
You know, when
okay,
people...
that's where I remember seeing it. See, I couldn't remember seeing it. See, I had a very bad accident a few years ago. I mean, it's a miracle I'm still alive. And so I have, like, big-time memory issues. So I was like, thank you for helping me find it. Because I remember seeing it, and I forgot it was in the archives. So, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. So.
Well, she also has her own website, drjudywood.com. Yeah. That's drjudywood.com. And
yeah.
You know, go ahead.
I see you also have Dr. Carly's archives, too. I spoke with Dr. Carly briefly. She just about an hour and a half from me in Hickory or in that area of North Carolina.
Oh,
and I wanted to use her possibly for a lawsuit, you know, as a doctor who's got evidence for vaccinations and stuff like that. In a lawsuit that I might be bringing against the state for the death of my daughter. So, you know, so the state can be very wicked sometimes. I think they.
Yeah, when it comes. Yeah, when it comes to Dr. Carly, she's like right behind Bill Cooper. I mean, she almost sounds like she's related to Bill Cooper, don't she?
Yeah, no, I like listening to her programs, you know. So, but then I get so confused about who to listen to. You hear stuff about Stat Miller, you hear stuff about, you know, there's on the Republic. I don't know. It was like, who do I listen to? What do I believe? You know, you have to be so, there's so much deception. People just have to be so careful. You know, they just have to deceive and they really, you know, like you said, 90% truth, 10% you know, fiction. And it's for detecting that 10% fiction. It takes a lot of work. And most people today don't have the time. Don't have the time to really research it. They just, you know, believe whatever, and you know.
They don't want people to research this stuff. They're taking our ability away to think for ourselves, and that's what research requires. Which is why they keep us busy working two jobs a day and things like that.
Yeah, that's why they're bringing down the economy. If this is an economic 9-1-1, you know, this country's gone. You know, so people have to just kind of learn to just be independent, and I'm learning to do as much as I can. I've studied a lot of medicine. I was practicing to be a I've completed my program to be a naturopathic doctor and, you know, a certified natural health professional. And, you know, because I was going to help my daughter. I had answers to my daughter's illness. She had a very rare disease. But now, you know, I'm here to help other people, so...
What was the disease, your daughter's disease called?
Alternating hemiplegia of childhood. Basically, it's like getting little mini strokes on the right and left side, and who knows, it was probably vaccine-induced. And I had answers already, and, you know, totally organic food, a hallelujah-type diet. I mean, they use a hallelujah-type diet for people, and that's right here in North Carolina. The place where they do the hallelujah diets, you know, and meetings and stuff like that, where people, you know, are curing cancer with it. You know, basically 85% raw fruits and vegetables and 15% cooked, but make that organic also. And, you know, just certain supplements and, you know, so there's a lot to it. And people are healing, being healed.
So how did you happen to come across my show and learn about it, Esther? Was it John DiNardo?
I'm not really sure. That's the memory issues I have. I have what they call short-term memory loss. You know, I'm receiving disability for it right now. But I read a lot. I read a lot on the internet. You know, when I heard Lucas, and then when I heard John Moore, and then the different websites, and then connect, you know, you link on the computer.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Esther,
thanks for calling in and being the first caller on my show on this network. The show is done now, so thank you. Okay, folks, that's the end of the show. That was great having a first caller into the show. Thanks for calling in, Esther, and we'll be back next Saturday, same time, same network. Later.
Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Big Shot of the Milliwatt. This is Micro 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.
It's time to get serious.